Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Captain Cho speaking. I come from the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, and we're here today after some sort of a hiatus here on our Women Veterans Week blog talk radio due to so many various activities that go on in the lives of veterans and on the issue of military sexual trauma, which has been a focus. So we're here today to talk about some updates from the hearings, which have become somewhat historic and upfront on much of the discussion. And because I had attended the hearings, I wanted to elaborate just a little bit because I'm hearing somewhat of information that's not clear and it's not accurate in its presentation on what has gone on here as of January the 25th. I would like to begin with just bringing to the attention that military sexual trauma continues to be a very significant part of advocacy amongst the women veterans. And there are many different dimensions in that approach, depending who is speaking. And I think that there's a need for a collaboration to have one voice so that there would not be so much confusion as to what exactly the direction of the advocacy and the status of the advocacy and where we are in establishing some very meaningful conversations for implementing policy and legislation that is specific that we can see some results on this issue. And I say that because there is so much going on that there's overlapping roles of individuals that is not as transparent as it needs to be. And we're talking to oftentimes a media and legislators who have no military background, who is being influenced by words that based on the compassion that it brings and not necessarily the reality that it brings. So my conversation today is just to bring to the surface just a little bit of the thing that underlying regards to reality and myths and what the House Committee investigation actually was intended to do and what I believe that the outcome was and how it may relate to our ongoing advocacy. I'm going to be using as a backdrop for my discussion a CNN report that was put out January 23rd, the House Committee investigates sexual misconduct at Lackland Air Force Base. I'm just going to read the first caption here just so that we can begin our discussion. On Wednesday, the House Armed Services Committee conducted a hearing regarding an investigation of sexual misconduct in the United States Air Force. The hearing centered on sexual assault by basic training instructors at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. Witnesses testified included two United States Air Force officials, Chief of Staff General Mark Welsh, and Air Education and Training Commander General Edward Rice. Other speakers included former Air Force service members who are now involved with sexual assault victim advocacy groups. An Air Force Staff Sergeant is charged with rape and multiple counts of aggravated sexual assault and is scheduled to face a court-martial in July. Three other defendants face charges ranging from sexual misconduct to adultery. Now, what is so interesting about this discussion is that there's the misconception by some who attended that this was military-based hearing. But the House Armed Services Committee focused their attention on investigations of the sexual misconduct at Lackland Air Force Base. The two generals that gave statements and testimony were from the, General Mark Wells, staff, and the Air Education and Training Command, General Edward Rice. And I think that it's important to note that there were 3 to 4 hours of testimony from between two of these gentlemen. And my witness was that the hearings were influenced to be called by the House Armed Services Committee, which is chaired by Republican Chairman Congressman Bob McEwen. And these hearings had a backdrop that were also flouted by advocacy groups. Nancy Parrish, who is Executive Director of Protect Our Defenders, which is a collaboration with Congresswoman Spears of Sacramento, California, who has been very influential in promoting the sex trauma on the floor of the House Committee and several other committees to stop rape in the military, have introduced the Stop Rape Act. And we'll go into that on another time, but the focus for today's discussion is on the military sexual misconduct hearings at Lackland Air Force Base. And these hearings also has some dynamics in it that need to be brought to the forefront. And some is that those individuals who were scheduled to give testimony or to speak were retired Air Force. And one who identified herself as a advocate and military sexual trauma professional and expert, both also were victims of military sexual trauma. And after 3 to 4 hours of testimony, they were allowed to give their testimonies to this panel. And what the first 3 hours of emphasis was, for me, by General Rice, whose responses were deferred to him by General Welch in those cases when questions were asked by the panel, was on the 46 resolutions offered as a result of the investigation, where there were 59 cases of inappropriate sexual behaviors found at the Lackland Air Force Base. And this particular command had established 46 resolutions, and 23 of those resolutions were specific to the findings from the investigations on those particular cases. And it was clear to me that the military sexual conduct, they made clear distinctions that their focus was on how to identify some of those components and to address much of those their concerns in those areas, which they identified that the training instructors who were overwhelmingly the perpetrators in these cases. And these young recruits, they identify and define much of the behaviors that were specific to the first year or within the first year of these young recruits in training. And these military training instructors were at fault in their behavior. So these particular resolutions that offered and explained throughout the first several hours of the hearings was not in question that this particular command had went to great lengths to investigate for 11 months on these particular cases, for 11 months. And they brought to this hearing panel, in my opinion, a comprehensive outcome of what their findings were during their investigations and what a resolution for moving forward to minimize these cases. Now, I think that there were many there who heard sexual assault, and many were from different sectors of the service who were attendants, but these were paramount for setting a precedence on getting attention on military sexual trauma that would bring in, I think, those from the Iraq and the Afghanistan wars, the younger recruits, and get an understanding on some of those dynamics where they may have been misinformed or not informed when joining or serving in the military. So I think what is also important to note that the aggressive approach by the advocacy group that brought these hearings to the forefront actually were in press conference and had had a press conference and a briefing prior to with interviews, my understanding, with the newspapers, media, and they were the backdrop, if you could just imagine, the briefing room, the invisible war, our defenders, and war, women against rape, which had their placards and signs throughout the briefing room and where the press conference was being held. So we have one side where we have the advocacy group who believe that their need for recognition was clearly present, and then we had the hearing room where the hearings were actually held, which was aligned with our media, to include the Washington Post, which was in the overflow room. There were several seated media and standing media, actually, in the hearing room, and there were several active duty personnel. The advocacy of probably less than 10 or 12 and speakers throughout this room, and then there was the congressional panel. And what I believe I witnessed was a unique mix of individuals with different interests and professional and experience, that professionalism and experience on the issue of sexual trauma, whether they were victims or whether they were on the other side of being professionals in terms of advocacy in that way. So then upstairs, there was the overflow room where there were maybe 15 to 20 media and military sexual trauma victims that were witnessing the hearings on the television. And it was a very unique mix. There was conversations from those who were before that desk, so having conversations that were being discussed with the media upstairs. And the Washington Post, who was very visible in communicating what the conversation would be for reporting on this throughout the hearings, and that was apparent. I took several photographs and talked to different people, but I listened more, observed more, and eventually I went downstairs as the hearing room cleared out to 3 hours into the hearings, and there was another 45-minute to an hour recess call after the first ST victim spoke. She was a master sergeant from the Air Force, retired, who offered her experience in military sexual trauma and some other information about her role as a NCO in the Air Force. And so during that period, as we were preparing for the convening for after the break, there was a lot of discussion and talk because the other presenters would be following that session break. And for me, I noticed that in the first part of the hearings, Congresswoman Spears, as she questioned General Rice, and her line of questioning, clearly, as a civilian, there were certain protocols, and I believe that General Rice, he actually is a five-star general. And if I'm counting those stars correctly, but General Rice is a four or five-star general who that articulated himself very well. And I think that he met his objective in as best as possible for what the Lackland Air Force Base had determined to be a problem and what their resolutions would be. I do also believe that the hearing, the panel, was engaging with those responsible for what they could assume to be factual information and what they could assume to be the reality for what would be done as a result of those investigations. And so the tone that was set subsequent to their discussion, when the second presenter was brought up, that after giving her personal experience of military sexual trauma and various emotional recounts of her experiences, and then she spoke about several made comments from a professional positions she had as an advocate, and one of her opinion. Her strongest statements were that she emphasized to this panel that she wanted the command for all perpetrators to be discharged, dismissed, because she had believed that they were responsible for those perpetrators having been repeat perpetrators, and that the command covered them and did not, in their command, they did not have the power or the ability or the desire to provide a punitive or sufficient punitive or discipline to these perpetrators. And the panel was being kind of shifted around, Congresswoman Spears moving back and forth from the panel to exiting the hearing room, and then at one point, Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth, who is the recently elected Congresswoman out of Illinois, who is an amputee and a pilot from the Iraq War. So her entrance was quiet, but I saw some activity in regard to her being in the courtroom. And the panel was listening, I believe, attentively to the speakers, but the responses that I was getting by the hearing panel, and the one being in response to the speaker emphasizing that there were no selected panel there or speakers there who were from the active duty or were a part of those investigations. And she had also emphasized that she wanted those perpetrators' command removed, and as a result of that, about suggesting that the perpetrators were actually the intended focus, as well as never having acknowledged either general's statements throughout the mourning ceremony or never acknowledging those generals in a way that would suggest that the respectful four-star, three-star generals or generals by a retired Air Force non-commissioned officer was not present. And I think that became, for me, a sense of comfort in the room because of all the work that had been done, and there was seemed to be a lack of respect for the level of officers that were present in the panel. This was by victims. So we have these victims that were presenting with overlapping roles as experts and advocates, and yet they were victims having some of their testimony. So the two particular comments from the presenter on that was at the end of the session break was responded to by the congresswoman who responded to the congresswoman, that the reason the fact that lack of Air Force base did not present any the response by the panel that they did not select anyone from those particular cases of investigation was about the fact that these individuals had not given statements already. So the presenter who was a victim and also the professional, she said, but since there was no one selected, she had acquired a statement from her quote-unquote client on active duty and was presenting a statement on their behalf to this panel. And so, in my opinion, the response by the panel that these whistleblowers that had spoke, and what she also emphasized that they were not in agreement with her statement that all of those individuals in the perpetrator's command should be dismissed, but that they focused on the training instructors that were involved in these cases themselves. And the Councilwoman Tammy Duckworth, reiterated and made a final request for a response on the issue of discharging officers that were in the command of the perpetrators. And what she said was that all of the officers that were trained and investigated, and part of this investigation, all of their training should be discharged. And we're at the end of this program, and I'm going to complete this because I think there's some information that we need to continue on discussing. But this is the foundation for part one of a three-part series or whatever, how many things needs to go for to bring clarity to what these work from the inside. And we're not hearing about those resolutions. We're not hearing about those 3 hours. We're not hearing about the work that's already been done. And we want to make sure the transparency and the government has done to respond to our request for support in this area is being looked at for airspace, and these policies can transcend other branches, and we need to be focused on the realities here. So I'm going to ask you to join back with us on next week, and I'll have my information more clear for bringing a simplified version of what it is I'm saying with regard to those support resolutions that were being offered versus the two presenters who are victims and advocates, and they present overlapping roles. Please have a wonderful week. This is Kathy Santos, founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, and we look forward to hearing from you on next week on our Women Veterans Speak Block Talk Radio program. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.